Welcome to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for, with me, life and career coach Brooke Kretz. Want to know the scariest part about leaving your job? The unknowing of what's next. But what if it were possible to leave the job you hate and pursue something that feeds your soul while still meeting your financial goals? On Designing Purpose, I will guide you step by step to leave jobs that no longer serve you and connect to the career and life you were meant for. Join in for powerful stories, examples, and guidance to go from feeling stuck in the unknowing to confidently transitioning to your next career. The Designing Purpose Show starts now. So let's imagine that you have two doors in front of you. Someone tells you that behind door number one is the assurance from people that you are enough, that you are so good at what you do, that you were always meant to be doing this work, that they don't know what they would do without you, and that people will always be so impressed by how exciting or important your job seems. The only problem is that it's locked. Another person tells you that behind door number two, there may be people giving you external feedback and praise, but that mostly it would be up to you to feel confident, satisfied, and content in who you are and what you do. This door is unlocked and ready to go through whenever you are. Which one do you think most of us would choose? I mean, door number one seems pretty exciting and sexy, right? We should be showing up to work every day with the undeniable feeling that we were where we're meant to be, that people adore us, that they are just blown away and wowed by what we do and offer, and that we are indispensable where we are. It's locked? No big deal. You can get through a locked door. You have the savviness and the resourcefulness to find a way to get through. It might take a little extra effort and might not feel the most natural, but it will be worth it in the end. So we start ramming ourselves into that door, taking a hammer to bust off the doorknob, picking the lock, and yet that door stays stubbornly shut. We feel like we're getting stuck and know that if we just give it some extra effort and use what's inside of us, we can get through. We begin showing up every day, ramming ourselves into the door some more, trusting that all we've ever wanted is just a few inches away. Some people we know walk right through door number two, but they're doing things the easy way. And besides, they're not getting much that way. Soon we are battered, bruised, sweaty, and exhausted, trying to knock down this door day after day. But now people have started watching us. We can't give up now. We have to get through that door. I mean, if we don't, then who even are we? One day, as you're throwing yourself into the door, you hear a grunting sound of wood against wood as the frame begins to budge and swing forward. You push again until the door is finally open. Oh my gosh, you did it! You knew you could do it. You always had it within you, even if you are exhausted, battered, and completely worn out. And let me tell you, what is on the other side of the door is amazing! You are bathed in the warm glow of validation, appreciation, and admiration from your boss, your team, your clients, and people you know as it radiates within you for about 5 seconds. Before you know it, you suddenly feel the door beneath you rotating and circling towards the left, turning you around and away from the admiration and praise and leading you back out to where you started. Wait, what? No, I got through this door. I did this. I'm done now. Before you know it, the door swings closed behind you and you are right back to where you started. Suddenly, you recognize what the door really was. A revolving door. Oh, and it's locked again. Time to start barreling through. So listening to this story, you might be thinking, this is insane. Who would be so desperate for what seems like very superficial and now, as we know, fleeting forms of happiness that they would put themselves through so much pain, exhaustion, and misery? This is just so unrealistic and hyperbolic. No one would do this. Well, actually, there are a lot of us out there who either have or are currently doing this to themselves every day. If they're in jobs that aren't aligned with what they're meant to be doing or are no longer in environments where they can be their full, true selves. And that's because even if we admit to ourselves that we are not aligned with our true purpose, like we did in episode one, or that the reasons we are avoiding leaving our jobs are actually lies, like we did in episode two, at this stage, our brains come in and we say, oh, it's actually me. And if I were just better, then I would be able to do my job well, feel satisfied and energized, and get that appreciation and feedback that I am valued and doing the right things. So we start devising all of these seemingly virtuous things that we can do to be better people in our jobs. Like, if I could just handle all the stress better and be able to catch and stay on top of every one of the hundreds of tasks I get thrown every day, then I would be better in my job. If I could just learn how to do every facet of my job perfectly with no errors or need to ask for help, then I would be better in my job. It's just me. I can just change and improve myself, and then this will all be okay and I'll feel better. And let me be clear, of course, our attitudes and perspectives at work matter. We sometimes don't agree with decisions, don't think something should be done a certain way, or feel that someone else was unfairly promoted or given opportunities we were not. We do sometimes have to detach from the need to control things and bend them to our will and understand that others have their reasons or ways of doing things differently, which are not bad or wrong. And I am not saying that when your situation at work is bad, we should just immediately blame the circumstances and not examine how we might be perceiving something. But what I am saying is that if you find yourself stuck in a bad job situation chronically or systemically, meaning you're not feeling good about 50% or more of the time, then you might be trying to assume what we will call a should version of yourself. Should selves are just that, the people we think we should be, the ones that we either think are expected of us or will generally really impress, wow, or allow us to gain approval from those around us. So, to be clear, these are not better versions of ourselves, just different versions of ourselves. And they can actually be pretty dangerous. Let's go back to our example of the doors. Door number one was locked, but you were still trying to open it using your abilities. This is exactly how the should versions of ourselves work. We have the abilities to do well and gain approval at our jobs, but it doesn't mean they always come supernaturally or leave us feeling peaceful, content, and energized. Think of ourselves battering down that door. We were tired, exhausted, frustrated, impatient, run down because we were going against something and it didn't feel like us. We eventually made it through and experienced what we were looking for, validation from others, but it was fleeting and we swung right back around to break the door down again. That's because when we assume an identity that is not ours at the core of our being, or what we'll call our true selves, we will actually never feel fully satisfied or fulfilled, no matter how much praise, external validation, title, pay, or other benefits we receive. Because we're not only not being ourselves, we're using some not very good sides of who we are to assume these other identities, leaving us feeling tired, frustrated, and always hungry for more. More validation, more assurance that we are enough and can do what we feel we should. We think it's a winning game because it will result in affirmation and acceptance from others that we were meant to be there. But actually, it just creates more tension, fear, and exhaustion, keeping us in things that we just weren't meant for. And there is nothing wrong with us for that. Remember door number two? That is you as your true self, getting to live in the fullest expression of your purpose. It is unlocked and available to you at any time, but feels scary because there's no guarantee of validation or admiration. And in fact, we're mostly worried about how others would view or judge us for doing those things. But actually, the real winning game is when we accept who we are, how we work best, and what we need to live and work from that place, a place of balance, ease, and wholeness, not proving our worth to others, especially when they don't deserve it. And the thing is, those people you were trying so hard to impress and prove yourself to, they're probably also playing the losing game, spinning that revolving door and getting banged up in the process. And when we keep trying to be people who we think we should be, but who aren't at the core of who we are, we stay stuck. So over the course of this episode, I will illustrate three common should selves many of us have or do embody, and why they are actually harming us rather than helping us achieve what we want. And these are: I should stick to my course, I should do it all, and I should help everyone who needs me. And once we have discussed what these look like, what they are rooted in, and why embodying them is actually a losing game, I would like you to honestly answer this one question by the end of the episode. Can I let go of the should selves that are separating me from new and better possibilities? Can I recognize that these are actually not better versions of me, just different, and that when I lean into what I am actually meant for, there will be so much more fulfillment and so much less pushing, forcing, and exhaustion? So let's examine the first of the most common should selves. I should stick to my course. So this should self thinks, I thought I knew exactly what I wanted to do and even got some fancy degrees and high profile experience in this field, but now it doesn't feel right. I stayed longer than I should because I'm worried people would think less of me or judge me for not living up to my full potential. And this should self is ultimately rooted in regret. So if you embody this should self, you probably felt drawn to a more linear path of things you knew you could do really well, or things that felt stable, or things that were impressive or recognizable to others. You likely had to earn one or more degrees, and maybe you've been in the same job or the same industry for a long time, perhaps even your entire career. And while it's not always the case, I do see this more in clients who have an MBA, have a law degree, or have something that took them a long time, cost a lot of money, and now after doing things within that for some time, they no longer feel right in it, or it didn't exactly turn out as they had expected it would. And especially when we feel like we had chosen a path, planned it out, and thought we knew exactly why it would be a good fit for us, while also usually impressing other people in the process, it can feel very embarrassing and vulnerable to say that we want to do something else. It's the classic sunk cost fallacy of, I put too much of my time, my money, my reputation into this, that others could perceive that I had just given up, or I couldn't handle it, and I would fall out of favor with them. So you stay in the job, and you probably actually do it really well and feel capable in what you're doing on a daily basis, but your heart isn't really in it. Something feels off, and that is why this is a losing game, because it keeps you trapped in something you thought you should be doing, and in some cases is really admirable to others, but now you realize that it's not fueling you for the right reasons. And it's leading you to experience resentment, frustration, anger at yourself for not moving on sooner, or for making poor choices in life and not getting it right the first time, anxious about perceived lost time, feeling doubtful or distrusting of what you want if it's not on the set path, and pressure to get it together because other people can. And the second layer of the losing game is that you are also likely worrying that other people will judge you for staying somewhere you maybe shouldn't for so long, and that they will question your abilities to do something different, worrying that others will think you aren't living up to your full potential if you're not using your big degrees or high profile experiences. And when we experience these things, it activates that highly capable, but a little bit darker side of ourselves, and it's the fear and the scarcity mindset that drives us at work, not the enjoyment, the curiosity, or the playfulness of what we are actually doing, but that need to show others that we made the right choices, that we are cut out for this path, and that we will keep moving up as we should. And so those of us in this should self might start finding shinier opportunities or events that add to the prestige, or join things where we'll be exposed to more people who see our qualifications and achievements in an effort for us to validate our choices. And while that technically would be advancing ourselves in our jobs, it would also be using means that end up harming us along the way because we have lost out on who we are and what we're meant to be doing. And when we are in what we're meant to be doing as our true selves, those feelings of resentment, anxiety, and self-anger, or that nagging worrying of how others will judge you if you leave what you're doing, won't be nearly as present because you'll be motivated by your true self and can use the parts of you which helped you earn that external prestige, like focus, determination, and thirst for knowledge, but to do things that fuel you and your enjoyment of the process, not the need to produce a shiny and impressive outcome for others. This leads us to the second should self. I should do it all. So this should self thinks other people can keep up and perform really well in this job and receive lots of positive affirmation and praise for it. So I just need to get it together to prove I can be like them. If I leave, it shows I'm not actually good enough to do this. And this should self is ultimately rooted in comparison to others. So we might come to the conclusion that we are unhappy in our jobs and that this is not the place for us. But sometimes what happens is that we think about leaving, we look around and say, well, wait a minute. All of these other people are actually able to keep up and do all the things they need to in their job. And in fact, it kind of seems like they thrive on it. And if all these other people can do it, does it mean I'm actually not as good as them by leaving? So we start vowing to do more, to keep up, to show and to prove to everyone that, hey, I am good enough to be here. I can keep my budgets organized, stay on top of all my meeting agendas, build great relationships with my clients, never miss an email, develop gorgeous plans and proposals, innovate better ways to do things for the team, and more. And the thing is, I guarantee you can. You probably do have the organization skills and focus and abilities to do all of those things and more. But when you're in the should self, you usually don't feel like you're enjoying the journey and that you have to constantly perform to stay in your job. So you may actually find yourself predominantly feeling exhausted, burned out, overwhelmed, forgetting about self-care, like you're lazy if you don't keep doing more, like nothing you do is good enough. And the second layer of the losing game is that you're likely always worrying that others will be preferenced for you for opportunities, promotions, and more. Worrying that others will see you as not being able to cut it in a high-performing job. Worrying that others will devalue your abilities, making you doubt yourself to handle another job. So again, you are using your capabilities you have within you, like organization, focus, determination, learning quickly. But when we do these things using our should selves, we actually end up bringing out those darker sides of ourselves. And that can really hurt us in the process. And when we operate from that place, there is never going to be a point where your brain will tell you that you're doing enough. The quick hit of appreciation or admiration will eventually dissipate, and you'll be left wanting to do and prove more to everyone. Meaning, not only is there never an end point to doing it all, there's never an end point to not feeling well, sacrificing feeling fulfilled and whole in your true self. And when you are doing what you're meant to and operating from that place of your true self and how you actually work best, you don't feel as much pressure to do it all and keep every single plate spinning effortlessly. You begin to understand what makes you feel alive and invigorated and what you can hand off to other people who may be better placed to do those things. You feel better taking time to rest and recharge yourself. You understand what you can keep planning your days around that makes you feel playful, curious, creative, empathetic. And therefore, you usually achieve more than you could have by doing it all in the frantic, anxious, judgmental embodiment of the should self. And now that we see the difference between finding the things you really enjoy doing and using that to expand and grow more, rather than compulsively doing it all to show people how capable you are and how you can keep up, but end up exhausted in the process, we can admit that being in this place is actually a losing game. This leads us to the final most common should self I encounter, and that is, I should help everyone who needs me. And if you need a visual cue to help you remember this one, just think of my face, because this was by far the biggest should self which kept me stuck. So this should self thinks, I want my boss and coworkers to like me and need me so I can prove how valuable and indispensable I am. If I leave, I'm afraid that everything would fall apart without me. And if it doesn't, I risk realizing I actually wasn't as valuable as I thought I was. And this should self is ultimately rooted in unworthiness. If you find yourself assuming this should self, you probably have always been a people-centered or heart-centered person. You may be in helping professions or in a role where you are working to directly benefit other people. And of course, there is a lot of benefit to serving others and helping to make their lives better and easier. But there is a line where this can become unhealthy, as it did for me. I reached a place in my former job where I began feeling really responsible for the other people on my team and that I needed to be the one that they came to so I could nurture them and protect them. And this manifested in me doing way more, trying to keep other people happy and shielding them from doing difficult things by taking them on myself. But who ended up really suffering in the process? Me. And this really came down to the idea that if people didn't need me in the job, then what was I even doing there? What was my purpose? What was the reason to even keep me around? And so I began creating new work for myself, taking on more responsibilities, and doing other things that I thought would please others and make me feel indispensable, but actually created much more of a burden on myself and left me feeling exhausted, terrified of critical feedback, the need to compulsively jump in and take things off others' plates, overly angry and resentful when someone was treated poorly, and anxious as I ran around to make sure everyone was okay. And the second layer of the losing game is that I was always worrying that if people didn't need me, I actually didn't have a meaningful purpose. Worrying that without me, the place would fall apart, and also that I would feel invalidated when it didn't. Worrying that I'd never feel recognized, appreciated, or worthy of all I was contributing and doing by others. So I did more. And this was because my need to help everyone was not motivated by what I was doing, but by the fear that someone would say they weren't happy with what I did and that I actually wasn't needed for that job. Helping people became unhealthy, and that I was willing to sacrifice my own well-being in the process while actually limiting my ability to support others because it was being done in such a frantic, fear-based, and inauthentic way. The irony is that today, in my role as a coach, which is entirely people-centered, I feel the ability to support people in a much healthier way through my true self, which isn't driven by the need for them to like me or to please them, because I'm working in ways which feel natural, energizing, and exciting for me. I don't feel the need to bend over backwards to do or protect anyone whom I work with, and I recognize that when my well is full, I can be a much better coach. If in case someone isn't happy with me or even wants to discontinue our coaching relationship, I can feel more at ease and confident in myself that it wasn't me not being good enough or doing enough to help them. It just wasn't a fit for us right now, and that's okay. And now that we see the difference between supporting people in healthy ways and needing them to see how much you do for them and gush about how they couldn't do it without you, we can admit that being in this place is a losing game. All of these examples show us that the more we let other people decide what we should be doing or feel pressure to be a certain way to gain approval, we don't actually get the gratification we think we will, but rather we'll usually end up feeling so much worse as we're achieving these things through the motivation of scarcity and fear, not of enjoyment, contentment, or satisfaction in ourselves and how we work best. When we consciously choose to leave that continuously losing game behind door number one and walk through door number two, we will feel comfortable, content, and fulfilled through understanding how we work best, which environment is most suitable for us, and how we can best use our skills and talents, and so much more. We will stop contorting ourselves to the expectations, pressures, and approval of others, but do things in ways that feel good for us, that have us waking up in the morning feeling curious, creative, and energized for what's in store, and how we can be who we were always meant to be. There may be no guarantees of external praise, glowing affirmation, or socially dictated prestige, but there will be something so much better. The balance, ease, and wholeness of being exactly where you were always meant to be. So let's go back to the question from the beginning of the episode. Can I let go of the should selves that are separating me from new and better possibilities? Can I release the pressure I place on myself to stay in a stable but respectable path I've invested a lot into, to not have to prove myself to others by doing it all, and to not have to please and protect everyone to feel worthy? And can I just be me, living in my true self instead? I know that amazing things are waiting for you when you are. In the coming episodes, we'll talk so much more about this, including unequivocally understanding when it's time to leave our jobs, how we can actually connect with our purpose and understand what we are meant to do, and how to break old ways of working, thinking, and being for ultimate fulfillment and whatever your true purpose is. As always, I'm so excited to be on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. You have been listening to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for. If you are curious to navigate the unknowns keeping you stuck in your job and confidently discover and pursue the career you were meant for, tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I give straightforward and practical guidance to facilitate your next career move. For more information, visit www.thepurposefulpractice.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.